We're at that part of the informal conference that I explained that we would open it up for public testimony, and you'll just follow the lead of the other people who came up in Ms. Lesser's presentation and give your name and spell your last name and your first name if it's problematic, and give us your address and tell us what you want to tell us. If you have any document, if you have a copy of a written testimony or some other document you want to bring to my attention, be sure you do that. All right, as I said, I'm just going to go right down the list. Ken Kudrna. And please forgive me if I mispronounce anybody's name.
Yeah, my name's Ken Kudrna, Kudrna, 11961 41st Street, Southwest, Southart.
Thank you.
Okay. In western North Dakota, we have abundance of clean, fresh air. We have smog-free skylines and clear visibility on most days. If a coal mine starts to dig their pits, all this will change. The clean air will be mixed with dust, coal dust, and chemicals released in the mining process. Mining noise 24/7, and we can't forget about the possibility of uranium. All these particles will become airborne and land whichever way the wind is blowing that day. In Dickinson or Belfield or at Teddy Roosevelt Park or even your home, distance won't matter. As a private pilot, I've flown over to Buell Hazen area many times. The plume from the plants is enough evidence that the pollution is in the air. It stretches for miles and you can see it 25 to 30 miles away. It's gray, red, brown haze. This is not healthy. In the winter, as you fly closer to the area, the snow has a black, dirty tint to it. So some of this is falling back to the ground, or is it the dust from the mining process itself, or both? Coal is dirty, and there's no way of making it clean. I don't want my home to become contaminated with these airborne pollutants and the odor of coal. Please deny this mining request. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for the record, I have some written testimony from Kristen Hedger, who indicated to me she was going to speak, but apparently she had to leave. So I'm going to put that into the record, too, as exhibit number 6. All right. Okay. Valerie Naylor.
Good evening, Your Honor. Hello, everyone. I am Valerie Naylor, N-A-Y-L-O-R. I'm superintendent of Theodore Roosevelt National Park. I'm one of the 80 or so year-round residents of Medora, North Dakota, at 201 3rd Street. As superintendent of the National Park, I'll direct my comments specifically about the National Park, although I definitely have great personal concern for those who could lose their quality of life or their livelihoods due to this project. For an area to be a national park, for it to be designated that by Congress, it has to be a very special place. It has to be unique, and it has to be the best example of some type of resource, and it has to be nationally significant. And that's exactly what Theodore Roosevelt National Park is. It's a very special place that was recognized by Congress in 1947 because it was such a wonderful example of Badlands terrain and because of the legacy of our 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. It's part of the heritage of this nation, and it's one of only 58 areas in the national park system that are designated as national parks nationwide. It's North Dakota's special place, and we're so fortunate to have it here in western North Dakota. I know that sometimes when you live in a place, you sort of start to take the things around you for granted. I've certainly been guilty of that before in my life, but it's such a great place, and the 600,000 visitors that come every year are usually amazed by it. I hear those comments every single day. It's also a very strong economic driver in this area. Sometimes people overlook the economic significance of national parks, but so many people come to this area just because there is a national park here. It's stable, it's clean, and it's here for the long haul. And it's the state's number one tourist destination, along with the town of Medora. We in the National Park Service want to preserve it forever. We want to preserve a small slice of the Badlands. We want to preserve Theodore Roosevelt's legacy. But that's getting harder for us to do every single year because of threats from outside the boundary. We already have a lot of oil development around the park, and that's not going to change. But this proposal would bring a new form of heavy industrial energy development to the area surrounding the national park, right really to the park's gateway, because most of those 600,000 visitors that come every year come from the east. It has a potential to greatly decrease the aesthetic value of this area, and I don't think we can underestimate that. Studies show that when people come to an area, they usually base their opinions on sort of the first thing they see when they get there. So we can't underestimate the impact of development, even though it's 13 miles from the park boundary, which is really not very far. We all know that this would not stop with a coal mine. We can't really begin to assess or discuss the cumulative effects that would occur from other types of energy development related to coal. We can't assess the impacts because we really don't know what they are. We can't address them or anything at this time, but there will be subsequent development. However, we can stop this now and protect our national park. We're not against coal development. We're not against oil development, but we are in favor of preserving this national treasure that we are so fortunate to have here in the Badlands. And I ask the Public Service Commission to protect Theodore Roosevelt National Park by denying this permit. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Weiss.
My name is Linda Weiss. I'm at P.O. Box 906, Belfield, North Dakota. And I'm a member of DRC. I'm not really sure what I'm going to say other than I remember in some of the very early meetings I attended of these presentations that at one time they were going to have a wind energy component. And then the plans changed. And they took that away, saying it was either because they couldn't have transmission for this wind energy. Yet they proposed another type of plant, and there's no transmission contract. There's no transmission plan for that either. And I drive past that when I have to run to Dickinson and back, and going past that site, I see that water tower, and I see that GTL plant, which is on the west boundary of the proposed mine. And all I can see, if it's a pit, what visual that will be on your way to the park. If it were a wind farm, it would be much more pleasing to the eye. And there was this poster just recently in the Sunday paper of a grandson asking his grandfather, "Grandpa, cows can't eat coal. Cows can graze under wind turbines. You can ask that wind farm at Sacred Heart Monastery. They do it all the time. There are other choices." And recently, I met somebody from Minnesota who grew up near the taconite mines. They said that the pits were dug, the rains came, and then the snow runoff, and they filled with water. They were finally reclaimed as an agricultural, not as an agricultural thing, but as a recreational area. They never went back to agriculture. But it took a lifetime for this person to see that change. So what are we doing trying to destroy our land right in this area? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure if this person wanted to, Linda Omlid.
My name's Lisa Omlid. I'm from Bismarck, 1325 North 21st Street.
And it's L-I-S-A-O-M-L-I-D?
That's correct.
Thank you. Please proceed.
First, thank you for the opportunity to be heard tonight. I'm here to urge you, the Public Service Commission, to vote no on this permit application. As a resident of Bismarck, I appreciate having beautiful Theodore Roosevelt National Park only 2 hours away. The park not only preserves a unique and awesome physical landscape, it also commemorates the lasting impact being there had on our 26th president. Teddy Roosevelt himself said that his time spent in the Badlands is what forged him physically and mentally into a man capable of the presidency. In particular, what Roosevelt saw and experienced there led him to become our nation's first conservation president. Knowing this history, it's shocking that a strip mine, coal drying plant, and most likely more might be constructed within miles of the park. Letting these projects proceed would disturb and degrade the area's land, air, and water, as well as permanently depreciate the park's intangible value as an untouched natural preserve. In addition, when the potential benefits of the mine and accompanying projects are compared to the damage they will do, the negative effects far outweigh the positive. The negative effects include the following: damage to structures at a distance caused by blasting for the mine, damage to the land from strip mining itself, from landfill, which may include hazardous materials, and from the removal of land from farming and ranching activities. Resulting damage to area farmers and ranchers consequently hindered in their pursuit of their livelihood and their way of life. Damage to water quality caused by harmful impact of mining on shallow pasture aquifers. Damage to air quality from uranium disturbed by the mining as well as from chemical pollutants emitted during the coal drying process. Resulting damage to human and animal health from air pollution. Damage to the visual landscape, the mine and coal drying plant turning the gateway to Theodore Roosevelt National Park into an industrial zone. Resulting damage to tourism revenues resulting from the park becoming a less desirable tourist destination as an immediate next door neighbor to such an industrial zone. These negative impacts of a mine and coal drying plant are all burdens borne directly by North Dakotans. Potential benefits of the project include the following: local jobs, local income, local, state, and federal tax income, income for investors of South Heart Coal LLC and South Heart Energy Development LLC, most of whom will live out of state, coal to run power plants outside of North Dakota, and electricity for people living outside of North Dakota if a coal gasification power plant is additionally built. Although some North Dakotans will profit from the mine and coal drying plant, over time, out-of-state investors, in addition to out-of-state consumers of coal and electricity, will share most of the benefits while bearing none of the burdens. To repeat, all of the negative effects of these projects are to be borne by North Dakotans and North Dakotans alone. This is not fair. This is not just. The Public Service Commission acts on behalf of and represents the interests of the citizens of North Dakota. The interests of North Dakotans are best served by rejecting the South Heart Mine permit application for the following two reasons. First, the wild, pristine nature of Theodore Roosevelt National Park needs to be preserved as an end in itself, especially given the conservation values of the president it celebrates. Denying the permit application so preserves the park. Secondly, the negative costs of the mine would be entirely borne by North Dakotans, as well as the park, while its benefits would overwhelmingly flow to those living out of state. Denying the permit prevents this injustice. Again, I respectfully urge you, members of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, to deny the South Heart Mining Project permit. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for the record, I've marked your written comments as exhibit number 6. Thank you. Jonathan Bry or Bree, I'm not sure.
Bry.
Thank you.
Good evening, Your Honor, and Public Service Commission, and everybody else. My name is Jonathan Bry, B-R-Y, 5000 Willow Oaks Road, Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504. I'm a resident of Bismarck, and I'm very concerned about the implications that a mine in South Heart would have on Theodore Roosevelt National Park. I've been visiting this park year-round since I was a child. All my brothers were all born here in Dickinson. My family lived in Battlefield for many years. And I bring this up because my father was a game warden in this area, so he got to know a lot of people, you know, ranchers and people alike, and until 1963 when he moved back to Bismarck. So I feel a real connection to the Badlands and the National Park because ever since I was a child, we just came back here and visited people, and some of the people I still know, and I still go hunting on their land and so forth. I often have visitors that come from out of state, different states, and also from overseas, you know, in particular Europe. And one thing that we absolutely must do when they come to visit is I take them to the national parks, both the North and the South unit. And they almost always comment on how this was just the highlight of their trip. They've never seen so much open space, and so, you know, have never breathed that clean air like they have in the park. They've never seen a clear night sky with so many stars in you know, as they've seen in the park, and just in Western North Dakota in general, because, you know, where they come from is very, very densely populated. Having a mine located just to the east of the park will also adversely affect the perception that Theodore Roosevelt National Park is a place of pristine nature. A mine would also mean that visitors coming from the west would see an industrialized zone as they approach the park. And I'm also really concerned that the South Heart Coal Project will violate the air quality standards for national parks. We must preserve North Dakota's Theodore Roosevelt National Park. And part of the mining permit calls for the use of a landfill, which the company would use to dispose hazardous materials and other waste-related materials used in mining. I'm concerned both about the air quality and the water quality. I'm also very concerned about for the health of the people of South Heart. Children would be much more vulnerable to asthma and other respiratory problems, and much of the water, if not all the water sources for the ranchers and farmers near South Heart comes from, you know, the shallow aquifer pasture aquifers, which I just heard someone say earlier, which is, you know, only 90 to 100 feet. And the process will contaminate, the process of this mine will contaminate the aquifers if it doesn't deplete them entirely. And I'm really concerned because the Heart River and the South Heart River go right through this area. And those are tributaries of the Missouri River. And lead and mercury, for example, will contaminate the water, and it will end up in the Missouri River, like around Bismarck. I'm a fisherman. I fish. I eat those fish out of the river. We don't need more mercury in the river. Also, all those pollutants will eventually end up in the Gulf of Mexico, which is already a dead zone, and it's getting worse. And it's still recovering from the Deepwater Horizon spill last summer. An additional concern is the uranium, which is in the coal and in the ground around the mining site in South Heart. This will create health hazards due to its carcinogenic nature. And when the uranium particles are disturbed, they'll go into the air and the atmosphere. And this will also cause health problems to the surrounding communities. So for this reason, for these reasons and many other reasons, I ask you to do not allow the proposed South Heart Coal Project to become a reality for the sake of Theodore Roosevelt National Park and for the sake of the health of the residents of South Heart.
Thank you, Mr. Bry. For the record, I've marked your written comments as Exhibit 7.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I don't believe we've heard from Neil Tangen. I know we heard from a Tangen, but did we hear from, we heard from Neil Tangen already. Okay, I'm sorry. David Nix.
David Nix, NIX, Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm here tonight representing the views of the Friends of Theodore Roosevelt National Park. Friends of Theodore Roosevelt National Park is a relatively new nonprofit organization whose mission is to support the natural, cultural, and scenic resources and the spirit and sense of place of the three units of Theodore Roosevelt National Park and the Little Missouri River that unites them in the Badlands of North Dakota. We appear before you today relative to the South Heart Coal Project, not to oppose development, but rather to support and reemphasize the concerns expressed by Superintendent Valerie Naylor about the many unknowns of the project and potential impacts on the multiple experiences that are Theodore Roosevelt National Park. In the context of North Dakota's increasingly important tourism industry, Theodore Roosevelt National Park, the Little Missouri River, and the dramatic Badlands country that surround it are the centerpiece of the North Dakota experience. The landscape is like none other, and the unique blend of Western and presidential history, clear air, unfettered sky, and an unequaled peaceful solitude all combine to create a visitor experience almost beyond description. Visitation, as we have heard, has exceeded 600,000 visitors per year and continues to grow, testament to both the effective promotion by our tourism division and the National Park Service and the quality of the product. As is often the case, North Dakota underpromises and overachieves. Any industrial development within the corridor of and in proximity to the park and its Badlands environment is a concern to our friends group, and we believe to park visitors from North Dakota and all across the country. The Badlands experience is about getting there as well as being there. Sights and sounds that affect the approach to the park along I-94 from the east can alter the people's perceptions of the park area. Industrial development in the proximity can diminish the in-park experience. if not planned and implemented with caution and sensitivity, the cumulative impacts of intense development, increased truck traffic, and accompanying landscape changes can negatively affect the park and its environment. We respectfully request your most careful consideration of the potential impacts of the South Hart Coal Project on the Badlands of North Dakota and Theodore Roosevelt National Park. The National Park Service and the state of North Dakota, through the efforts of the tourism industry and many partners, such as the Theodore Roosevelt Medora Foundation, have spent many years and many dollars shaping and promoting the experience that is Theodore Roosevelt National Park and the incomparable North Dakota Badlands. The land and the larger-than-life image that make up the park and Badlands experience cannot and will never be replaced. Our friends group joins the National Park Service and many of the park's visitors and lifelong supporters in asking that you evaluate the proposed project carefully, consider all aspects and implications, and always keep the integrity of the park in mind as you make decisions about what is best for the future of North Dakota, its natural resources, and its citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nix. I'll mark that as Exhibit 8. Wayne Fisher.
Hello. My name is Wayne Fisher. Address is 4425 115th Avenue Southwest, Dickinson, North Dakota.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you for having this meeting here. I would prefer to direct my comments to the Public Service Commissioners, but I guess you'll have to suffer through my comments. There are a number of issues and concerns with the potential development of the coal mine near South Hart. One major concern is that Mr. Kevin Kramer and Mr. Brian Kalk accepted campaign contributions from persons associated with Great Northern Power Development. They both stated that this would not affect their decision-making process. Does anyone believe this? Other issues are uranium, aragonite, and mercury. All these problem minerals are at the potential mine. According to the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, contaminated uranium mines near Bellevue and Griffin, North Dakota, resulted in the deaths of 2,500 sheep, 6 cattle, and many sick cows and sheep, which glowed a blue hue. North Dakota and U.S. taxpayers paid for this cleanup. Lynn Helms, director of the Department of Mineral Resources, stated, "Something that contains uranium, you got to worry a lot about dust. That's going to be our number one worry. What are the PSC's plans for handling the uranium problem? Is it to ignore this problem? Aragonite, according to the North Dakota Department of Health, is an asbestos that causes lung cancer. The North Dakota Department of Health stated that mining should be prohibited in specific areas. In Libby, Montana, an actual asbestos contamination resulted in the deaths of more than 200 people. So again, the taxpayers may be paying for this cleanup. What are the PSC's plans to handle the aragonite problem? Is it to ignore the problem? Mercury, a contaminant released by coal-fired plants, could be present in fish. The North Dakota Department of Health warns that mercury can damage adults' kidneys, nervous system, vision. Young children, developing fetuses, and breastfed babies are at most risk damage to brain. What are the PCS plans to handle the mercury problem? Is it to ignore this problem? Then there is the issue of reclamation. Recently, the PSC abandoned a reclamation coal mine project. The contractors stated that $1,222,000 to reclaim 150 acres was insufficient. They demanded $3 million, increasing the possible cost from $8,133 per acre to $20,000 per acre. Great Northern Power Development is proposing a mine about 5,000 acres at reclamation costs of $20,000 per acre times 5,000 acres. This would amount to $100 million to reclaim the site. Is the PSC prepared to ask Great Northern Power Development for $100 million to place in a state fund to cover the reclamation costs? Will PSC choose to ignore the problem? The high cost of reclamation is an open invitation and temptation for coal mine owners to walk away from their responsibilities and let the taxpayers pay for reclamation costs. Most of these issues, the political contributions to elected officials, the potential problems with uranium, arenite, and mercury, and the reclamation problems have been reported in the Dickinson Press and other state papers. The PSC's own mission statement mandates that its mission is to protect the public interest and regulate utilities. What has the PSC done to resolve these potential problems? Could the acronym PSC stand for Public Service for Corporations? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. I marked your written comments as Exhibit 9. Caroline Height.
I'm Caroline Height, H-E-I-D-T, of 11444 45th Street Southwest, Dickinson, North Dakota. When the Holland Dakota Land Company came to the South Hart area in the early 1900s, they chose one of the most scenic, prosperous areas of western North Dakota. Here they gave farmers of the Netherlands an opportunity to immigrate to this country. These people prospered in this area, and some have left this land to their ancestors. Do we want to see this beautiful landscape destroyed? I don't. Another big concern with this mining will be the air pollution with all the dangerous chemicals in the air. We are to be stewards of the land, not destroy it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure about this one, either the pronunciation or whether they want to testify. It was a question mark. Gia Kamisk?
My name is Gia Kamisk. That's G-I-A-C-U-M-M-I-S-K. 836 13th Avenue West, Dickinson. My first exposure to North Dakota was Theodore Roosevelt National Park. We were driving from the West Coast to the East Coast. It was Theodore Roosevelt National Park that was a major reason for my return to North Dakota. It was the Badlands topography that was so unique and inspiring that piqued my interest to return and learn more about this area. One of my major concerns is that there has been proven health risk that with the adverse impacts in relation to coal, uranium, and other chemicals that have been distributed throughout the air, whether it's through burning, dust, etc. I know that these chemicals will undoubtedly begin showing up in the Class 1 air quality monitoring station at Theodore Roosevelt National Park. Theodore Roosevelt National Park and Medora are the number one tourist destination in North Dakota. I would not like to see the new gateway to Theodore Roosevelt National Park as an industrial gateway to our national treasures. I urge the Public Service Commission to not grant any more permits to this coal mine or whatever it is, as I've heard many things through the course of 4 years. And thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you. John Swenson? I'm sorry, Jan, is it Jan?
That would be Jan.
Okay.
Jan Swenson, I live in Bismarck, North Dakota. And I serve as director for the Badlands Conservation Alliance, a Western North Dakota nonprofit that focuses on management of public lands and natural resources in Western North Dakota. I live in Bismarck, but I'm in love with the Badlands. The buttes, the woody draws, prairie expanses, and endless skies of the Badlands. No matter where our members live, California, Michigan, Maryland, Sentinel Butte, Belfield, Dickinson, Kildare, Beulah, Halliday, Jamestown, Fargo, Grand Forks, or Grafton, the same can be said. We are in love with the Badlands and advocate for their protection. It is the Badlands that claim our hearts, that define our lives as North Dakotans. The Badlands call us, they keep us home. I live in Bismarck. I used to cross the Missouri River and think I was on my way. The anticipation, the longing, almost there. I would hold to the open road ahead and anticipate the promise of inspiration and fulfillment. I would seek out Young Man's Butte on the horizon and its promise of Richardton's iconic Assumption Abbey. A reminder that I was not only pointed west, but toward a higher calling, a bit of creation as it was given us. The lights and shadows of Richardton are no longer spires of a 100-year-old sanctum sanctorum, a threshold on my pilgrimage. They are the glaring floodlights of an ethanol plant, an industrial facility poorly sited. It takes me till well past the community of Dickinson, right about at South Hart, to recover my zeal, my optimism for a destination. That first glimpse over the ledge and into the Badlands, home. If I'm lucky and I plan it right, I will arrive during daylight hours when the eerie fires of oil patch flares and rigs against the skyline are dulled by sun's full glare. The noose is ever tightening. Reality is hard to ignore or disguise. The South Hart Lignite Mine proposes to be one more hurdle to our quest for home. One more industrial site to get by. One more nail in the ongoing industrialization of Western North Dakota's landscape and communities. An expanding industrial complex which would beg visitors atop Buck Hill in the south unit of Theodore Roosevelt National Park, or winded climbers of Bullion Butte on the Little Missouri National Grassland, to narrow their wandering, awestruck eye, to blinder their restive souls against intrusion. Selfish, you say? Maybe, but let it be. BCA members are proud of North Dakota for what we have chosen not to transform, as well as for our landscape's many contributions to human, state, and national endeavor. It may not be BCA's place to speak for the impassioned souls of South Hart proper, who fight for their quality of life, for their livelihoods and water and children, for their homes, but we are proud to stand beside them. This proposed mine would have implications far more reaching than we might like to pretend. Let us show discretion, respect. For the unique blessing North Dakota has been given in our Badlands and in Theodore Roosevelt National Park, let's remember home. Thank you.
Thank you. James Cambites.
My name is James Cambites. I'm from Bismarck, North Dakota. And I ask for your patience while I testify, because I was up at 6, worked all day in front of a computer, and then wrote these notes in my car right here from Bismarck to get here in time after work. I would hand them in as written testimony, but I myself have trouble reading them. I stand firmly against this coal mine because it's un-North Dakotan in every way, economically, ethically, environmentally, you name it. I was born in North Dakota. I was educated in North Dakota, got my master's at UND, and then I spent 10 years traveling the world, lived in several different countries, learned several different languages, experienced life in a lot of wonderful places. But yet I chose to come back to North Dakota, move back here with my family, be here for the clean air, the clean water, the good people, and because I like what North Dakotans are about. I was born here. My parents were born on farms in North Dakota. My grandparents were born in North Dakota. I've spent enough time in the cities and on farms in North Dakota to know what people value in this state. First, we value our land, our fertile land, clean air, clean water, with which we feed our families, drink it, feed our livestock, grow our crops. Second, we value local people, local power, local leadership. We protect our neighbors. I don't know how many times when we were young, someone in a neighboring farm, they break a leg, they're ill. Our whole family works overtime during harvest to help them harvest their land. That's what North Dakotans do. We protect our local neighbors. This coal mine is not our local neighbor. they do not share our values. Economically, we keep our money here in North Dakota. When Minnesota is giving us bad rates for our wheat, bad rates for our loans, in the beginning of the century, or last century now, we created the first state mill and elevator to get fair prices for our local people. We created the first state-owned bank to get fair loans. This is what we do. This is who we are. And this mine, everything about it goes in the face of everything that we value in this state and what it means to be a North Dakotan. Permanently poisons and pollutes our land, air, and water, making this the horrible one-time harvest that our past governors, like Art Link, fought so hard for us to avoid in the coal regulations that he did put in the center of the state. We know water is no joke in western North Dakota. Water's the new oil all over the world. That's why Coca-Cola and Pepsi bought up most of the world's water rights. And now they're selling us water for $2.50 a bottle. When I was a kid, they said we'd never, ever buy water. Water's free. It's like a right to clean water. Once these coal beds are mined, there's nothing to hold the aquifers. They're gone. I've gone up to coal country. I've talked to farmers who have lost their groundwater. I've seen the beds. I've seen on Google the large toxic beds where they hold the sludge from coal, the coal ash, all the other junk that comes out of coal, the other runoff. There's mercury levels. There's arsenic in our water. If you think this is just some 36-year-old man saying, oh, everything's bad, we got to protect the water and flowers and children, Well, then let's look at the North Dakota Health Department, because they say otherwise. I'm going to quote them, and I got their report right here. The quote from there is, this is from our Division of Water Quality's Advisory for Human Consumption of Fish caught in North Dakota. Here's a picture of fish on the back side, so you can see how big the fish you can eat without getting too much mercury. We know where the mercury comes from. We have 2,300 pounds of mercury released from our coal plants in North Dakota each year. That doesn't go anywhere. It's a heavy metal. It sits in the water. It's going to be there in a million years, sitting there. Anyway, mercury, 1/17th of a teaspoon, not tablespoon, teaspoon, is enough to permanently pollute a lake and make it undrinkable, unsafe to drink. And we're throwing out not teaspoons, we're throwing out pounds, thousands of pounds in the center of our state, burning roughly 25 million tons of coal a year. We're killing ourselves. Our number one industry forever has been ag. Now we've got energy and the energy industry, even MDU, Dave Gooden himself, sees that moving to renewables, moving away from coal is a wise idea, as he stated. I got the quote in my backpack at the last Public Service Commission. But anyway, I'll try to be brief. Sorry, I have too many stats. I've been following this for a long time because it affects me. As a kid, the doctor said I had asthma. I live in Bismarck. I started looking at a map, and I said, well, that's funny because I don't always have asthma, and it's only on certain days. And then I started going to the high hilltops and looking at the haze on those days that I couldn't breathe the most. And it's brown. I've got photography of it. It's brown. That the wind blows from the coal mines and the coal plants now down to Bismarck. It's usually coming from the northwest, and we're breathing it, and I feel it. And when I'm not in Bismarck, when I'm 100 miles east of here, I have a lot less breathing problems. The doctors eventually told me I had allergies. It was just allergies. There's nothing wrong with the air. It was just allergies. And so I got every allergy test in the world. And I was allergic. My skin was allergic, a little allergic to mold sometimes. If I'm in a basement and there's a lot of mold. And penicillin, which is a form of mold. Maybe there was like a hay in there or something. But that was it. Now, I have breathing problems in the winter when there's no, the air's dry. There's no mold in my house. There's no hay being cut. I don't have allergies. And I didn't realize it till I was living in Europe because they have pollution warnings, and they explain very well what the pollution does. And they say, okay, today there's this much pollution, and that's why it's brown and orange. This is nitrous oxide. This is sulfur dioxide. Anyway, and I came back to North Dakota and said, oh, yeah, here's sulfur, here's nitrous. Oh, I can't breathe today. I wonder why. Anyway, okay, I'm sure you get the point. And we don't want to be here all night. I'm not saying we need to shut down all our coal plants right now, but there is a reason. We haven't had a new mine in North Dakota in 30 years. There's a replacement for coal. There are many other options, and we know the rest of the world is doing it. They're all investing in green energy. China spends $12 million an hour. An hour. $12 million an hour on green energy. In countries like Denmark, they've gone from being heavily reliant on coal like North Dakota to cutting back to 70% reliance on coal in a very short amount of time, all the while boosting their economy and increasing jobs. The coal plants with machines nowadays and the automation, they do not have near as many jobs as many other energy industries and as the coal plants of the past. But there's a strong myth in North Dakota, and you normally see it right under the Lignite Council's websites and all the ads paid for by Lignite Council is down in the corner, explaining that if we don't have coal, we're all going to die and we're going to lose all of our jobs and our economy will collapse. We can either choose coal or to live long. And, well, the rest of the world knows this is a myth. We're going to be buying our renewable energy from China. We already are, to a great extent, in Germany, Denmark. Our biggest employer in Grand Forks was a Danish wind blade company. Okay, but if we need an example right here in closer to North Dakota, right here in America, look at AEP, American Electric Power. They're the largest user of coal in the United States and the largest user in the entire Western Hemisphere. They stopped building old coal plants, and the only type they will even consider now are the high-efficiency models, not using our low-grade lignite coal that we have in North Dakota, and they use instead what they call ultra-supercritical, which greatly reduces their coal use, because it's so high, so much higher quality. But even then, Pat D. Hemlep, spokesman for AEP, said, "We have no other coal fuel generation planned at this time," end quote. If AEP does generate new generation, they're turning to natural gas, renewables, or other substitutes. The whole world's phasing out coal. Deutsche Bank, let's look at the Deutsche Bank. Kevin Parker, the head of asset management and the member of the executive of their executive committee, he said on January 1st this year, "Coal is a dead man walking. Banks won't finance them. Insurance companies won't insure them. The EPA is coming after them. And the economics to make it clean don't work," end quote. Yet we're sitting here today in this room considering giving a permit to a coal mine that will let to a coal mine that will destroy our North Dakota farmers and ranchers' land, water, way of life, and I would argue also economy, both short-term and long-term, but even more so we'll see in a few more years down the line. Coal costs the states millions of dollars in externalities. We have a policy in North Dakota where we don't talk about externalities, external costs. We don't talk about the true costs. And that's why we're killing ourselves, shooting ourselves in the foot. Here are two reports released this year, and I have the full reports on my laptop as well. You can check them out. Harvard Medical School's full cost accounting for the life cycle of coal, and it was published in the Annals of the New York Academy of Sciences in February 2011. And according to Harvard Medical School, they don't mess around. Coal use in the USA is costing our public up to $500 billion each year in external costs. Costs that we as the public have to pay, medical costs, among many, many other costs. I could go down a list. If you don't believe Harvard, because you're skeptical of those people up in the ivory tower, let's look at the American Lung Association. They published this year, the title is "The Toxic Air," subtitle, "The Case for Cleaning Up Coal-Fired Power Plants," in March this year. You can get all these linked online. The American Lung Association mainly focused on the effects that coal fire power has on our air quality. And it's interesting because I was just on my laptop back there looking at the study. And when you look at the map of the coal pollution estimated by the American Lung Association, the national, not the regional. Our regional doesn't talk. They have a policy. I went and interviewed our regional people, talked to them. I even recorded it. And they said they have a policy of not talking about outdoor air pollution here in North Dakota. And so they want to sell me a radon kit. They want to talk about smoking bans in Bismarck and whatever. They didn't want to talk about coal or anything. They said, "We don't talk about outdoor air pollution in North Dakota." But yet, in the Bismarck Tribune, they give a grade of A+ for North Dakota air quality. Well, that's interesting. You don't talk about it. Why don't you talk about it? What kind of donations do you get from the coal people in North Dakota? They told me. I'm not going to say anything on record. You can figure that out for yourself. But anyway, you look at the map. American National Lung Association, I found at www.lungusa.org. Look around a little bit. You'll find it in there. Yes, right in there. The American Lung Association, yep, the report and the map. And if you look at that map, look at North Dakota. You'll see a big dot in the center of North Dakota, a dark one, and then a more like orangish, brownish, blackish colored one in some red areas. You see the whole center of our state around those seven large coal-fired power plants is just polluted. And the USA Today, they took a look at the toxic release inventory, and now that's what the coal people admit themselves. That's what they admit to polluting. They took a look at that report, the USA Today, and they tabulated where the toxic hotspots in America are. The center of North Dakota is what they call a toxic hotspot. The air pollution, if you average it throughout the whole state, it may seem that, oh yes, we have really clean air in North Dakota. If you average it, that's like saying, officer, I was driving 500, but the last week I drove 30 everywhere. You know, I can drive 500, officer. But, okay, this is, I could go on and on and ruin all of your night's sleeps by keeping us up too late, but I'm going to try to close here. So I'm from Bismarck. What am I doing here? Why should I care about a mine way over in the western part of the state? How does it affect me? Is the air going to blow away over there? Well, it affects us. It affects my pocketbook. Each coal plant added is a large, large expense. If you just look at one plant, what it's doing to us in healthcare costs and what it's doing to our state's economy, my economy, my taxpaying dollars, let's look at Coal Creek. And this is from the ABT Associates report this year. They're a very reputable research firm. been around for a long time. They look at just one plant, and, well, they look at all the plants, but I'm just going to talk about one right now. Coal Creek, they annually contribute to 51 premature deaths, 79 heart attacks, 860 asthma attacks, of which I might even throw a claim in there. It's being one of those, and 52 asthma-related emergency room visits. You can see the website. It's really long. Should I read it or not? Super long. https://coal/problems/power_plants/existing/map.php?state=north_Dakota. And there, that you will see that this report found that public health costs of air pollution from the Coal Creek Station exceeds $370 million each year. I don't know if you've ever had cancer, lung cancer, gotten treatment, gone to Mayo, done any of that. I know a lot of people who have, in my family included, and it's not cheap. And so people talk about saving 1 cent a kilowatt hour. You know, we have such cheap, affordable energy in North Dakota. This is the most short-sighted comment we could ever make. And it's not just the environmental. It's not just the economic. It's not just the unethical anti-North Dakotan aspect of this whole situation that... that is frustrating. I like the Badlands. I'm 36, and there's not a summer of my life that I haven't been here for at least 3 days to 2 weeks, every summer. Matter of fact, I just got a text message last night from a cousin who now lives in California, and he's going to be in North Dakota for a week, just finished his doctorate, and... he's going to be here for only a week. He hasn't had vacation in months and just defended his dissertation. He's coming back to North Dakota, and he asked me, when I'm back, can we just go to Medora for like we always do every year? And I'm probably going to, I don't really have a lot of vacation in August because I'm using it up in the end of August, but I'm probably going to take my own non-paid vacation just to be there and do that. We do this every year, and it's not just him, my whole family. Medora is very important to me, and I bicycle, and I have a lot of friends who bicycle and come all the way to Medora from Bismarck just to ride the trails. We have some of the best bike trails in the world, and this will affect that. I'm not going to be breathing, with my breathing, I'm not going